How well does Shane make his wrongs right with Suga? And who took out the Turks? Find out more watching Top Boy, the after show.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, guys.
I was expecting possibly a reggae version of this intro song. Something to put us in the Top Boy modus operandi. That was just my interpretation of what was going to happen. I don't know.
I think after the scene, we should have definitely did
That's
that.
That's what we're going to be like. That's how it goes.
But taking it back to you guys, welcome, welcome, welcome. We are on episode one, season one of Top Boy, Broke Up. I mean, so I am your lovely host, Zakiya, and I have my great host with me, Teron. He says he was a kingpin in his past life.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
See, here's the thing. A London kingpin, overlord, slumlord, all of that. That qualifies me to be on the show. Top Boy, rude boy.
Oh my gosh. And I myself, I am in love with Drake, and I love everything that has anything to do with drugs and...
That says a lot about you and your character. I'm very,
just
it's very
movie
interesting.
Movie-wise.
Interesting.
Or shows.
Interesting.
Yes. So, guys, I mean, we have so much to talk about. But basically, we had Jamie, Stefan, and Aaron. We dealt with them. We also seen DeShane in Jamaica, the legendary DeShane. And we're also going to go and talk about, as well as Jamie and his friends, possibly taking down the Turks, or did they take down the Turks? They definitely took down the Turks. But we're gonna get all into that in this episode of Top Boy. I mean, so what are your overall thoughts?
So overall, I thought the Top Boy, of course, with all the acclaim and all the credit that it was getting, I was expecting it to deliver, and it did. Honestly, it's a show that's very captivating in its cinematic structure, and it's, of course, in its nature and its inherent ability to draw you in. We're coming off what they're calling seasons one and two, getting this to be season three, but this is the first time Netflix has produced this as an original, because 2011 and 2013, we already got some Top Boy. If you were a fan back then, you would have watched DeShane and Sully take over the London underground, and of course go to war with one another, and it's nice to see what's going on. I've been wondering what's going on with DeShane. I was expecting it to get a renewal of a season back then. At that time, it was too controversial. Thankfully, Netflix comes around and allows us to grow with shows like this, and we get to, of course, binge. So we get this top three. So your favorite person, Drake, comes to produce with Netflix. They get this season three, which is going to be the season one of the not Netflix original, and it was Shottas meets Layer Cake. Pop, pop, all into one, right? So we get this cocaine underground. We get these two dynamic stories going simultaneously. One in London with Jamie, his family, and his growth, his DeShane rise to power. And then, of course, with DeShane himself in Jamaica, who's on the run from what I'm assuming are the consequences of the previous episode when he had to leave London. So it's interesting. I can't wait to have more.
Yeah, for sure. And as you just gave us the full rundown, guys, the full rundown. Basically, if you haven't seen episodes, the Top Boy series 1 and 2 in 2011, please go watch it. It will give you a lot of insight on who DeShane is and the story background. And that's why I appreciated this episode. I felt like I got to see who DeShane was, and I felt like it gave us everything we needed and more coming soon. I'm excited to keep watching. So let's get right into it. So we met Jamie, Stefan, and Aaron, and we found out they're brothers, and they're chopping it up in the kitchen, cooking and having a good time. It seems as if they don't have a parental figure around. What is your overall thoughts of their relationship?
Well, we all know this family, right? It's the family in where the parent is either working or unavailable. Something has happened, and now we have the older brother playing the parental figure. Now, he is, of course, Jamie is basically kneeling on the line of good guy, bad guy. We see two different Jamies. We see the Jamie that's the gangster and the Jamie that's the older brother. And sometimes the two conflict, as we see when Steph is asking to show him his homework and Jamie is busy doing gangster stuff, or at least that's what we're assuming. However, at home, Jamie is the big brother, the consummate big brother. He's ragging on Aaron, and he's idolizing over Steph because he knows Steph needs a little more love and is a little more is a little more sensitive. Mm-hmm. So he's there for him, and Steph is the one. The cutest little thing is like, "Wake me when you come home." It's like, "You're my brother. I can't sleep if you're not here." Yeah. And you get that dynamic. And this, unfortunately, is a circumstance that happens all too often in what we would call the quote unquote hood.
Yeah, I agree. For myself, I love Jamie and his interactions with his brother because it seems like he has to give Aaron a little bit of tough love because he's getting older. He wants him to be more responsible. So I feel that is what he's trying to do in his parent figure like demeanor, and then he is given, as you said, Steph that love that he needs. But speaking of Steph, we've seen Steph and his best friend Axe, who we learn, and they have their cute relationship, like schoolboy relationship. But at the basketball court, something happened when they had the interactions with the, as we seen in the beginning of the episode, what would be like the corner people, the people who are on a block basically selling whatever they selling. They selling food. That's what they call it. That's what they call drugs. So what do you think about their relationship?
So, of course, we see when Jack, that's the female character who's playing Snoop.
Yes.
She always trying to, has a chip on her shoulder, comes in and plays this tough boy character, doesn't like being called a girl. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting. It's reminiscent of The Wire, mm-hmm. where we see a similar type of character, at least. It's a trope that's being used. But ends up being a basketball mate, playing around. Why did they target Steph? Was that on purpose? That's the question that I had.
Yeah, I don't know. So I feel like they are recruiters. Because and this is going to help guys watch the other series, but with watching the other series, they had little kids who were actually selling the drugs. So I felt like Jack was a recruiter, and so was the person she was with, Romy.
Yeah.
Romy, he's also a recruiter. So they basically kind of sized them up, but then showed them like a sweet side, like, hey. And then when she walked off, she's like, so you're going to work for me one day, possibly. Was it for Steph and X, or just Steph, or just X? I'm not really sure. I'm guessing all of them. But we see Steph, he doesn't like them, and it's so odd because his brother is a drug dealer. So for him, well,
I don't think Steph knows that. Steph has no idea. He just thinks his brother's working. Mm-hmm. He suspects some type of foul play, as we see towards the end. You smell funny, where are you, where were you, asking the questions. However, he doesn't suspect that of his own brother.
Yeah.
And he constantly explains that Romy and Jack are bad people. They're trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't like that. And when it comes to Jamie possibly uses that tough love, as you were mentioning, mm-hmm. In regards to Aaron, simply to keep him busy and out of trouble and not wanting to follow him in his footsteps. Okay. We see that often in these good guy, bad guy scenarios where the bad guy has a good, sweet side to him and he doesn't want, it's as if he feels obligated to be in this life, even though we know he's not, but he doesn't want others to follow him in that same footsteps. And we see that possibly with the tough love with Aaron, and then of course with the whole concept of Steph being so anti D-boy.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of drug dealers, we have our famous legendary Duchesne, who we now see is in Jamaica, and he's transitioning into Jamaica. First of all, the scene with the Jamaican party, I felt like, yo, I absolutely want to be there. I wanted to go up and bust a wine real quick. But so we see he's in Jamaica. He doesn't look too happy. He meets some friends who aren't really up to any good, and he is, the legendary Duchesne is working at a rental place. So,
well, it's his uncle's rental place. He's ran away from London. Mm-hmm. Duchesne is now humbled in many ways. He is no longer the Duchesne who's the kingpin that we see coming off with, in the beginning, in the first season of Top Boy, the one 2011, we have Ronell wanting to work for Duchesne. Duchesne is basically playing the kingpin that now he's afraid of.
Mm-hmm.
That's who Duchesne is. Duchesne starts off a mixture of the kingpin and Jamie at that time. And now this is a new humbled Duchesne. Duchesne is now, he is a foreign, as one of the officers at the jail placed out.
Right.
No matter how much he tries to fit in, he doesn't actually fit into this world. And he's no longer Duchesne.
Exactly. And speaking of fitting in, once he realized, I guess the guy who had approached him in the show or at the party basically was like, yo, you're legendary. Can I take a picture with you?
Donovan.
Yes, not Donovan. Donovan is his cousin. So it was another, just a gentleman who
I thought his name was the guy who came in. He just was like so shady.
So Donovan was
who came into the rental thing.
No, Donovan is his cousin.
No, that's the one who works at the rental thing. That's the one in the wheelchair. Right. I'm talking about the guy that came in.
Right, he was the shady one. Exactly. Okay, we're on the same
page. Asking too many questions.
Right, but he was basically shading him because he said to him like, "I thought you were a legend, and now he's not." And I felt like DeShane definitely felt some type of way because then you see him go with Lester and go on this trip where he was supposed to make easy money. It was, as Lester explained it, finger licking, like so easy that it was finger licking chicken, easy chicken. And then they come into some problems, like a lot of problems, a lot of situations where DeShane had to take out Lester. He had to kill him. The problem.
I mean, I don't know if he had to kill him.
You don't think so?
I don't know if he had to kill him.
Okay. He might be right.
I understand what he did. See, this is when we run into the good guy, bad guy problem, right? It's when the bad guy all of a sudden has ethics. Then you play this part where you're the bad guy, but you have an ethic. And do we as the audience love this ethic? Of course. We don't think that a bad guy should kill a grandmother and the grandson, right. Especially robbing a grocery store that clearly has no money.
Right.
Right? It's like a family-owned business. It's one thing. None of us feel bad for the most part when banks get robbed, but if someone gets mugged for their purse, we're all like, why would you do that? That just seems like such a horrible thing to do. However, legally speaking, clearly robbing a bank is much worse.
yeah. Speaking of things that we love, can you tell them why we love AfterBuzz?
Well, we love AfterBuzz because we love watching all these shows just like all of you. See, we are on this panel, but you guys are at home are, if not as much, more so part of this panel than each one of us. So thank you so much for watching us, and make sure to tell your friends and family. Comment below. We love reading your comments. And if you're listening to us on iTunes, give us a 5-star. We deserve it, even if we don't lie. Just give us that 5 stars. Spread the word. Share the love. And thank you for making us the ESPN of TV Talk.
Yes, thank you. So now we get into something crazy and serious because DeShane finally meets up with Sugar because he has to because he killed Lester. That was his loyal dog. And once you do that, you're basically your head's on a platter unless you confront it or even if you confront it. What was your thoughts of this interaction? I was completely scared out of my mind. I just knew DeShane was a goner.
Well, more so, I think DeShane did the right thing. In fact, the DeShane who was willing to run was not the DeShane that I was used to. I was actually intrigued and disappointed that his first reaction was, we need to get on a flight and get out of here. Mm-hmm. That's the DeShane that leaves London, right? Yeah. This is the new DeShane. The real DeShane is the one who goes into the jail yard, who looks someone in the eye and says, this is who I am, and gives them a better offer than death. Mm-hmm. Killing me is this, but if you let me live or allow me to live or if I continue to be, then I can make you and both of us a lot of money.
Right. And what was so sick, obviously Suga accepted the offer, but then he came around, had the police pull him and Donovan out of the car, took them to the forest and basically scared the crap out of them, saying, okay, we heard you. Now go do this job. It was unbelievable for me, but I mean, I guess
unbelievable in what way?
That he didn't get killed, and that he just kept shooting at him at the ground, and had his cousin. And the cousin didn't even have his wheelchair; he had to walk all the way back out of the forest.
Sure.
From
out of the jungle in Jamaica. Jamaica's a very dangerous place. I don't know if you've ever been to Jamaica.
No,
it's a beautiful and very dangerous place. It is I would not want to be stuck in the jungle there. You don't know when things are going to come around. You don't know what's going to happen. It's also a place where if you get out of the resort or Kingston and go on the off-beaten path, these islands, people don't realize that these islands have their own culture and familiarity to it. And if you're not familiar, things can happen. Now, when it comes to Sugar's actions, do I find it unbelievable? No, Sugar had to show DeShane that he means business, and this was a great way to do so. He takes DeShane, shows him fear, and fear is a form of respect. We see that when it comes to religion. We see that when it comes to the mafia. That's how it works. So typically speaking, the kingpin of the mafia isn't the guy that can beat everyone up. It's the person that most everyone fears and or respects. It's the same fear that we discuss when it comes to a god or a god figure in most religions. I understand this concept of taking him, showing him he has to punish him in some way, because now his crew needs to wonder, why are you choosing this random person over Lester, who's been in the crew for so long, who, by the way, we know that Lester betrayed him, but you're only hearing this from Deshane's point of view.
Right.
Secondly, this is a thing in criminality that you have to understand. If it doesn't make money, it doesn't make sense. If someone owes me money, I'd rather them keep working than kill them, because then I won't get the money. Killing them doesn't solve the problem, but causing them to fear me does. And that's why it wasn't completely unbelievable to me. I would have been surprised if Deshane did get killed. The cousin, however, got lucky.
Man, did he. And he didn't want anything to do about it. So I feel like what we see here is now that Deshane has everyone wrapped into this. Because if they know about his cousin, then, and they know about Deshane now, like, you just don't know what's going to happen. If he is the type of guy to take you to the jungle and just leave you there, there's no telling, if you don't deliver, what will happen next. And that's just that. But speaking of what happened next, we see somebody take out the Turk. Now, the Turks, that's crazy to even try to take out the Turks, because they're controlling everything at the moment. They have the entire drug supply. They're supplying everyone who needs the drugs. But if you take out the supplier, you got a new king. Now, how did you feel? Like, did you think that Jamie was going to be successful when you saw that happening?
Well, it's a very interesting dynamic. Did I even think Jamie was capable of such a thing? Right. This isn't the Jamie that I saw. Now, if you understand the London world of the London underworld, where we get this from bits and pieces of movies, but I don't know if you've also ever been to London. The London underworld is very interesting. And London, first of all, as a place, is a very interesting place. It's very diverse, extremely diverse, so diverse that it's noticeable to us as Americans. However, to them, it's so normal. People interact with one another all the time. It is also at times extremely segregated. So the Indians live in one place, Turkish people live in another one, Albanians, Bosnians, everyone lives in a different place. Then, of course, the Nigerians and then Jamaicans. We have different sects of people who've all, in one way or another, been affected by what we call the United Kingdom or Britain, and colonization and all these things play a huge part in their immigration statuses. And we have a lot of unfortunate immigration rules that are suppressive and oppressive in a lot of ways. So when it comes to criminality, what we're looking at is that the Turks, who play the part of what we would be the Arabs in France, right? They play the supplier. They are the mean ones. They are the Brighton Beach Russian gangsters. And we see them effectively being taken out by Jamie and Kit. Kit is now his right-hand man. This is the Deshane and Sully of the new. They are playing underpart to Modi, who goes away for 18 years.
Exactly.
So Modi gets imprisoned for 18 years, and now we have this new. The new takes over the old. The king is dead. Long live the king.
Right. And it's funny that you talked about Modi and Jamie taking over, because it seemed like they were having a little battle and towards the beginning of the episode, where Jamie said, yo, like, what are we going to do about food? We need more food. Modi got into jail, and some other guy, which believe was also up in the gang life or whatever, he was saying how he was going to take over now.
It's Modi's underling.
Right.
It's Modi's underling. So this was this is the Kit to Modi, right? So this is the second in command.
But now we see that possibly might not happen, with Jamie actually taking out the supplier and meeting with a new supplier, which shockingly, well, I'm not really shocked, but it was a woman, and I'm happy it was, because that
an Irish woman.
Yes, yes. And that shows that women can be in the drug game. I don't know if that's not a good thing, but the drug game is not good, but it does show that you can have
you're
that
a little
power.
Too excited about being in the drug gang. I you know, I don't know if you've ever sold drugs or if you've ever been around people who sell drugs.
No.
I don't know your background. We need to discuss that.
Okay. So it's just, I just like watching it. It's just something that is great and funny.
Where are you
to
from?
Watch. I am from Buffalo.
Buffalo, New York.
Yes.
Which, ironically enough, is in its own way a big hood.
Yes,
like, Buffalo
it is
a hood. A lot
it
of people
is.
Don't know about that, especially since it's on the border of Canada. And so, therefore, there's a lot of things that go from that border that crosses into Canada and vice versa.
Yeah.
Have you ever been around the drug game?
No.
Allegedly. I don't know if I believe her. She is a woman. She is a woman.
Yes.
She is a woman.
She is. I have not. But, you know, it's just something interesting to watch. It's just one of the things that I like watching, people.
It's fun. It's fun to watch this stuff at home. Of course,
I don't want to be in it.
Of course, we don't advocate drugs or drug use or drug stealing on the show. But when you get to watch from outside, and it is interesting that she's a woman, but her partner is not. And what's more interesting to me is that they're both white.
Right.
And I don't know if I was Jamie. That's a very precarious situation to be placed in, to trust Turkish people or white people. They both seem a little interesting. And to be very honest, to me, the guy that came in and all of a sudden wanted to take a selfie with Duchesne and these people all seem shady to me.
Yeah.
They just seem a little too eager.
But who's not shady in the drug world? We don't know if they are shady or not. I agree. Anything is just shade. Like, you have to watch your back with everything you do. So now they're coming up with a new supplier, and they don't know even if the supplier is going to be the same as the Turks, kind of really controlling and just taking over their money and charging them more to even set.
Yeah, I mean, do you really get rid of the competition off this?
No.
You're afraid of the retribution acts of the Turks. I mean, I don't know if I trust Lizzie fully.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what Jamie's relationship with Lizzie is. I don't know. The only thing I understand is Jamie being like, yo, how old do you think she is I could hit? Like, okay, maybe.
First of all, he's not even worried about anything else besides, well, obviously he is, but besides hitting that. So, okay, Jamie, you go ahead. He is cute, though. But okay, so anyways.
Well, at least we know one older woman who will let you hit, Jamie. You've never been with one of the old things.
I am not that old.
You're older than Jamie. Jamie is portraying someone, I would say, possibly 19 years old.
You think so?
I would go from the 19 to 21 age.
Mm.
Just given especially given the breakdown of Jamie, Aaron, and Steph.
Yeah.
Steph seems to be 11. Aaron possibly 15. And then here I would go. So we're looking at like a 4-year difference between the brothers.
I could see that. Like him not really finishing.
Yeah, he seems
school.
Young and yet very mature, of course, because possibly he was placed in this position where he had to be mature and grew up very quickly.
Yeah. Oh, guys, it is so crazy. But I want to get into our special segment because I made up something that I thought was super fun and relevant.
You're going to make us cook crack right here on the show?
Yes.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I can trust you.
I got the stove and no. The Top Boy lingo, I thought we should discuss it because it's so many different words that I don't personally know. I know you seem like you traveled the world, so you probably would know more than me. But okay, let's get right into it. Like, let's see how good you know stuff. Do you know what flute is?
Flute?
Yes.
So flute is an instrument that they play when you're in high school. The kid that you're least likely to make it on the basketball team is also the one most likely to play the flute.
Yeah, no. I think, I don't know exactly, but I heard Steph saying it. I think it was something like, cool, like that's cool.
Yeah.
I heard them say
it's
a lot.
Music to my ears.
Yeah. Okay, you might be getting to something.
See, a lot of the slang in London are either abbreviated words that are put together or something that rhymes with something, right? Mm. So if something's cool, it might be rocking. If it's rocking, they'd be like, oh, those are Flintstones, bruv.
Ah,
so it would just, they would get that to that point, and then, because it comes from the wittiness of, and the cold humor of British humor.
Nice.
There is a very strong gift of gab that the British have.
Nice.
In it is actually more of a slang when it comes to, here's the interesting thing. Patois, spoken in Jamaica, is broken English, right?
Right.
It's English that was transferred basically to the slaves that were brought to Jamaican islands, okay?
Correct.
So here we have Patois makes its way back. So when you listen to, especially slang in Canada, which is until very recently just another principality of the UK, but we get a strong Jamaican influence in Toronto. We have a strong Jamaican influence in London. And so a lot of the slang comes from Jamaican patois making its way back in to the country, especially in the 60s when there was a more open immigration policy. A lot of people went back. We had a lot going on, especially with the rise of Black Power. But in it is just isn't it. And of course, it's just slang. Like, in it?
In it? Okay, yeah, but I like that it, one.
But a lot of these words are just used in repetition.
Okay, yeah. Like, they said that a lot. And so, like, yeah. Like, they said yeah a lot, which was, of course. Also, food, which we find out is now drugs. And then we also had peace. Or peas.
Peas is for pounds. Pounds okay. is the money exchange, so it means money.
All right.
And we also see that not everyone understood pea as well.
Yeah.
So people are like, that means money, because we see it's more in the... That was meant for us to understand that it's more in the quote-unquote black community. Mm-hmm. Now, a difference that happens is in America, when you say you're black, you just assume you are black. That means that you are of African-American heritage, and we all understand that. However, when you go to places like Canada or the UK, people will be like, oh, what's your background? You'd be like, oh, I'm black. But what part of Africa or what part of Jamaica? Because there is a specific route that they expect you to have. Right. In America, due to the unconscionality of slavery, we don't have that trace back to our lineage or heritage. Mm-hmm. But there they would. So that's why they're basically differentiating, saying the white people don't have the slang, but the black people there, this Jamaican community, would completely understand what peas meant or use the word bruv.
Yeah,
it's bruv. Different. It's cultural.
I love it. I love being updated with the culture, especially London culture, because it's so different from America. But let's get into our news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
So, guys, we had a picture of our two favorites right now, which they were definitely my two favorites. But look, it's Steph and Ed. They're so adorable. They're so decked out, dapper, looking great. And they're boohoo men, guys. Go ahead. We love to see you on and off the camera. So they're so super cute. But that was our news and gossip.
Just looking at them is our news and gossip?
Hold on, let's look at them. Cute. Just do it again.
They are kind of cute. I won't lie. I like cute little brothers. Like, I want to pinch your cheeks. Until, of course, one of them grows up and takes out an entire mafia. So right. I don't know.
Or kills the
next. Especially in the most violent of ways. Set a fire, shoot them to death. Let's talk about that. All right, go on.
Well, so that happened.
You got to do what you got to do. Of course, she found it very exciting. I'm sure Nakia found it very exciting.
Okay, let's talk about it. I do find it exciting.
Well, good for you.
So you don't?
I think we've lived very different lives.
What lifestyle did you live?
Gotta find out on the next
Oh, guys. We have to wrap it up, but we love being with you guys. We love having these conversations, and thank you for tuning in. Give your plugs, man.
Okay, definitely at I Am Toronto all across the board, and of course, find me hosting and paneling on a slew of other after shows, because your favorite TV shows are my favorite TV shows too. In fact, we're going to be talking more Top Boy back to back to back. So stay tuned. We're going to watch, talk.
All day. And my name is Akia, and my Instagram handle is AkiaW_. You can also find me at David Makes Man on Wednesday. It is wrapping up, but it's such a good episode or season. So you guys need to tune in. And thank you for tuning in.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.